is side two of a tape done with Oliver DeBaker, who moved from Dykesville to Green Bay as a young married man. He describes here the winter commercial fishing he did with his family before he made the move. Mr. DeBaker was born in 1899 to a French mother and a Belgian father. The interview takes place on April 14, 1976, and the interviewer is Linda Green. Could you tell me about the game warden, Mr. DeBaker?
Well, he came over by us three times, all the while we were fishing. That's all I remember. He could have come before, you know, but we didn't know him, see? Because there's some guys that used to come from Green Bay here, they say we're from Green Bay, and we want to know if you want to sell us some fish, see? And if you got some good fish to sell. Well, you know, my dad, he was scared of that. So he told them guys, well, I haven't got any fish except those carps. Well, he said, we don't want that. We want some pikes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. See, and if we'd have, my dad would have thought, could have been the game warden, see? Then he'd have got hooked, see? Because you're not supposed to take them. Against the law. Sturgeon, the same thing. And those northern, they're great big fish there.
What did the game warden look like?
Well, he looked about 6 foot tall. He weighed about 180 pounds.
But you said like a farmer?
Yeah. He was dressed common, huh? He was dressed
common. Yeah, he was dressed just like...
other men around there.
Other men out on the bay, you know. And those that go to the river there, those game warden that watch the rivers in Dykesville and that, all over, they're the same thing. They got a spear and with them, and they go along and they see the guy and say, well, how's luck? And he said, well, I got a few of them. I said, and he said, you get any pickerel? No. If he'd say, I got a pickerel, yeah. Then he was hooked, see. Her brother one time, we ran for about a mile, I guess. He thought there was a game warden, and it was one of his friends. And because he seen Alec going so fast, you know, he started chasing him to make him go. Yeah, Alec thought it was the game warden.
But that's the way the nets were tagged, you know, and then they knew who they belonged to also, because each one that was fishing had a tag number, and that
but
would concern what they were fishing. See?
We never had any trouble with the game warden for anything. He just come over and that was it. He'd make his visit and then he took off.
And by their number, if they were going to be fined, they would have been fined by that number, see? That's how they would know who it belonged to.
And he'd ask, Pa, how many nets have you got? Pa would say, so many. And we had 175 nets. That's the most we ever had. That was a lot of net. Oh.
But they didn't take them every day and lift them. Just so many, you know. Because in other words, the fish weren't supposed to stay more than a few days in the nets and had to be taken out.
3 days, that's the most, otherwise they die. See, their gills, they get caught in the net and they close their gills up and they can't breathe. Very seldom, though, that we get some that was dead. The 3 days there, when they were pretty tough fish.
But the whole neighborhood there, all along their line, was fishing, everybody. Everybody was in the business of fishing in winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did that stop?
Well, now for about, 10, 12 years or more, nobody fishes on the ice anymore. No.
Like this winter.
How many years do you think it is about?
Huh?
How many years about that they don't fish on the ice anymore?
Oh, about 10 years or more. The people quit.
Why do you think so many fished at that time? Was it because times were rough?
No, I think that it was kind of a season when there was a lot of fish. And after that, other fishes came in, and some of them ate the little fish, so then they didn't have as much fish anymore.
There's a lot of carps. Gosh, when I go fishing and I go here at Eagle's Nest, there's carps in the water there. They're on top of each other. They're so thick. Well, there's still carp, but it's just the idea that those farmers, they don't fish anymore. You see? And one guy quit, the other one quit, and nobody fish anymore.
Besides, now everybody goes to work on a job.
My dad, if I would have stayed on the farm, and in the wintertime I would have nothing else to do, I'd get a few nets and fish, you know, to make some extra money. But I could stay there, so, and the other ones, they all got married, they all left home.
And
Same thing.
I think the reason that they don't fish at Dagsville anymore is there's not enough fishing to be done. And another thing, they all find a job in the town instead of being on the farm. So somebody else...
It's a year-round job here in town. See, we're over there. In the wintertime, you worked about 3 months out on the bay, and that was it. See? It takes a while. That ice got to be at least 8 inches thick before you go on there, you know. But my dad didn't look after that. If it was 3 inches of ice or four, he went out. But we didn't take the horse right away. We start from the shore, from about a foot of water, out. About four nets in a row like that. And go over another 50 feet and set another one like that. And we used to get a lot of fish like that. But then, when it was to bring the fish to shore, Pa says, you know, he says, we can't pull that sleigh. He said, that's too heavy. We'll never make it. He said, we'll have to go and get the horse, he says. Well, I says to Pa, I says, the ice is 5 inches thick. You know that when you cut the hole, it was 5 inches thick. I says, 5 inches of solid ice? I says, boy, that's strong. You could put four or five horses on there together and it wouldn't break, you know.
Did your father fish when he first came?
No.
Huh?
Your father didn't fish when he first was in the country. I mean, your father didn't used to fish before. He only started fishing about 1918, somewhere around there.
Well, when I was 16 years old.
Yeah. But before that,
1916.
How did he learn?
How did he learn? I guess there was nothing to learn, but they knew they had nets.
Oh, there's nothing to learn about that. No, you just buy your nets, and they tell you got to make your nets, run your pole under the ice for 250 feet. Then you pull your net in, then you take a sinker and a rope, and you let your stone go down to the bottom, and then whatever you at the bottom, on the top you tie that around a stick, and you put a cross stick across the hole like that, and the other one would went in, and it was a fork like that made. So it would stay on that stick like that, and it would stick out about 2 feet. And then there was a number on there. My dad's number was on there. And when I fished that last year, I had to get my license too, see, to fish, so that they sent me some numbers, see. Oh God, it those days that was hard, it was rough, but still and all, we liked it.
Yeah.
See, we were brought up like that, see. It was today, I'd go out there, I'd kill myself. Because I'm not... And my dad, he was... I don't know how old he was when he quit fishing.
He wasn't very old. He wasn't very old.
No?
No.
When we got married, he must have been around 50. More than that.
I don't know.
Because we had a picture taken there for all our family. And he was married 50 years. And we were small yet. Huh?
You were married already when your mother and father had 50 years wedding.
Holy God.
How did you find the fish? How did you know where the fish were?
Pardon?
How did you know where the fish was in the bay?
Oh, we knew every fish.
Yeah, but she means where to find them.
We didn't know. You got to set nets for it. We used to have a gang of nets running. We always used to put 10 of them from 3 feet of water out, straight out. Then we'd go over 50 feet and set another out. Then we'd go maybe a half a mile or so, we'd set 2 gangs there again. And that's the way we used to do that, see? Because the carp, they're on the closer to shore, see? They come so far to the shore that they get squashed underneath the ice when the ice goes down. They don't know enough to get out, and they get squashed in there. Because we used to find them that they were flattened out.
But besides carp, you also fish for herring, then?
Yeah,
not many nets, but some.
Yeah, we used to go fish herring. I and Bill and Stephen and Freddie, and we'd take our skates and we'd go out about 10, 12 miles out, and we'd go fishing herrings. And we had such a load to come home with, man. A good thing the ice was smooth, you know, it was a clear ice. Oh, it's fun. We'd open our coats. And I bet you we were going 70 miles an hour. We were scared to fall because, boy, we broke our neck. But that ice was just as smooth as the table here. All the way through. That happened 2-3 times like that in the winters that we had nice ice and no snow. But we had snow already that there was about 10 feet of snow under the ice. We couldn't get our nets in. There was too much snow. We couldn't get our pole through and we couldn't get our nets in.
The snow underneath would get mushy, like, you know.
Yeah, that wind would bring that in, see, and before it gets too cold, you know, there was just so much on the shore, maybe for 200-300 feet from shore, and that was all slush, they call that. See, that was that snow, and the wave would pound it down and keep it going down. See, and that was real thick. Holy God. From the shore out till about 10 feet, that was all snow.
Well, wasn't it rough the times that you couldn't fish very much in the winter?
Huh?
Wasn't it rough on the family when you couldn't fish in the winter?
Well, rough on the family?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Not too much, no. Because what did they do before they fished? Huh? They were living there. Yeah.
But they weren't big farmers like there is now. At his time, if they had 10 cows, 10, 12 cows is about as much as they had. And the
my
milk?
Dad had 80 acres of land. And now that part, he sold some seven acres.
And at that time, Oliver, they didn't have no cheese factory to take the milk to.
Oh, they used to
use a creamer, separator,
yeah.
The milk. So the, in between that, they lived that way, see, by...
Mm.
Eggs, what they had, chicken, eggs was enough for them to survive their groceries with about.
I see.
Yeah.
Were many cottagers in that area at that point?
No, there was no cottages at that time.
No, nothing. When we got married, I was in a cottage. It was just, there was one cottage, and I forgot who it was. That was over towards the farmers.
Yeah.
And there was he was from town here. Remember him? His wife was tall and nice looking there. He used to go by Emily on the farm.
I can't remember who you mean.
That guy was a businessman here in town. That was the only guy that had a cottage there. It wasn't too much of a cottage, but they could spend their summer there, see.
Do you know any fish jokes?
Huh?
Do you know any fishing jokes?
Well, that's it when you can.
You know any fishing jokes?
Jokes?
Yeah, from fishing.
No?
No. And I was wondering, too, if there were any special religious kinds of ceremonies about fishing?
No.
Or any special saints for fishing?
No.
No connection?
No, with... no, nothing.
I don't know. Maybe there's some stuff that I would... I don't think of.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you for doing the tape with me.